Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, friends. This is Julie, reading from the Odessa American on Sunday, April 9th. ECISD Board Election is in May, by Ruth Campbell. Two incumbents are facing challengers in the May 6th Ector County ISD Board of Trustees election. Donna Smith, Position 3, will square off against Wayne Woodle, and Denise Jones, Position 7, will face Robert Thayer and John Dietz Randolt. Attempts to reach Randolt were unsuccessful. Early voting is 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., April 24th. To April 28th at 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., May 1st and 2nd at the Ector County Courthouse Annex, 1010 East 8th Street. Smith, 67, graduated from Odessa High School in 1974. She earned her bachelor's from Texas Tech, her master's from University of Texas, and her Ph.D. from Texas Tech. At Odessa College, she taught English and retired last year after 41 years there. She's been on the school board since 2006. I want to run again because of a long time of struggle. The district is finally upward arc, and I want to protect that positive growth since it's relatively new and thus fragile. We are a B district now, with exciting growth in multiple areas. I bring knowledge, stability, and 17 years of experience, which means I know what things to protect. That means I still need attention, when to press questions, and when to hang back and let the district do its work, Smith said. She added that she thinks the district will need a bond because many schools are overcrowded, many students have to travel too far every day to get to school. Also, our schools are aging and have infrastructure problems that are too great to address from a normal yearly budget. Hand in hand with our ability to pass the needed bond is the need to do better at garnering goodwill with our community so that it will support us, Smith said. As a district, we need to do a better job of consumer service. Treating parents and other people who come into our districts as valued partners in children's education, acknowledging problems and working with people to come up with solutions. In addition, there are a variety of challenges and frustrations teachers faced in the classroom, ranging from overcrowded classes to frustration with curriculum implementation and professional development issues so that people feel overwhelmed and under-supported, she added. The delay in getting students tested for special education in the early grades creates a stress on teachers and students alike, which is a problem caused by too many diagnosticians in the district. In addition, there are dangerous illegal drugs circulating in our community, affecting our children and linked to their struggles in school and later in life. I think the district is in an inflection point. We have to protect and nurture the gains we've made while continuing to identify, acknowledge, and address the problems we still struggle with, she said. If she's elected, Smith said she wants to protect the gains ECISD's made, see the district continue to grow and synthesize some of the promising and innovative programs, such as blended learning, opportunity culture, and outcomes-based, high-dosage tutoring, as well as the pipelines built to try to meet our district's personnel needs, such as the need for more teachers and diagnosticians. I want to continue to work in early childhood education, providing appropriately staffed and support pre-K and pre-K 3 and pre-K 4 classes for all children who need them. I want to continue to work to find qualified teachers, grow our own so that each school is fully staffed with well-trained, qualified teachers who have appropriately and reasonably sized classes, Smith said. Though we're addressing the delay in testing kids for special education, accommodations by helping people to become diagnosticians through our diagnostician pipeline, where the district actually pays for the training of these individuals. I believe we need to look for creative interim solutions. While these people are being trained to reduce the time it takes to diagnose and offer special education services, that will lessen the burden on teachers with kids in their classes with undiagnosed special education needs, and more importantly, it will help kids get there sooner to their academic career, she added. Smith said she's wanted to see the district do a better job of strategic staffing so that the high-poverty schools have more resources to deal with the challenges population of children and parents. Those schools need strong, experienced, successful teachers, as well as specialized training and how to serve high poverty families and access to a strong wraparound social support system to help these families be better able to help their children. I want the district to look for opportunities to partner with others in the community to help combat and rise the dangerous illegal drugs in the community. Though I'm proud that we offer the highest starting salaries in the area, I'd like to see our salary schedule meet to exceed the regional average at every level. Smith said she also wants to pass a bond that would address needs in the parts of the community. Along with a couple of other board members, I've begun visiting campuses to talk with teachers, staff, and parents to hear concerns. I want to continue that practice because I believe it's the best way to know what's working and what's not. It's also a good way to build trust and connections and to show that I want to help make things better. She's having work days to block walls. Call the address mailer April 15th and 29th. We have tentatively scheduled April 2nd, April 23rd, and May 4th as dial days, where we meet and make phone calls. I know that some people are trying to organize this candidate forum, but that wasn't and hasn't finalized yet, Smith said. Woodall, 45, is the lead life skills teacher at Midland High School. His father is former board member Doyle Woodall, and he has not run for school board before. His father, Doyle Woodall, was forced to resign from the board following a controversy over social media posts he made. I'm running for school board because I believe being a teacher who is still currently working with the students on a daily basis gives me real life, common sense perspectives that the current board is lacking, Woodall said. If elected, my goals are to bring some strategies to improve classroom discipline, improve our teacher retention by providing best and safest environment to teach, to bring back a focus on the individual needs of students, not on just letting them get ready for a standardized test. The biggest issue he faces, ECISD, are poor teacher retention, student apathy, and the need to improve discipline, the need to listen to the public failing schools and poor reading levels across ECISD. Woodall is an Odessa High School graduate and went to college at West Texas A&M in Canyon and so Ross State University in Alpine. He earned a Bachelor of Science degree in kinesiology with a minor in history. Woodall also has a Master of Education degree, Sports Management, from Hardin-Simmons University in Abilene. He's married to Jennifer Woodall, and they have three children, one grandson and another grandson on the way this summer. Jones, 63, was appointed to the Board of Trustees in May 2022 to replace Nelson Minyard, the previous trustee who retired and moved from the district. The school board held a special meeting June 20th, and trustees interviewed 8 applicants for the post. Jones has lived and worked in Odessa for 17 years as a prosecutor, judge, and now a private practice lawyer. While working as a municipal judge for the city of Odessa, he was actively involved in the truancy program for 13 years. He also has previous teaching experience at Angelina College and Odessa College. Together, he and his wife have 3 children and 5 grandchildren. As the newest member of the Board of Trustees, I want to continue being a part of improvements and growth that our students and staff are showing on a daily basis. I'm excited for our future of Ector County ISD, and I look forward to helping our students and teachers achieve greatness, Jones said. If reelected, Jones intends to continue to existing programs to maintain low vacancy rates of the district's teaching positions, continue progress made on academic scores, and become an A-rated district. The largest issue that I see are these infrastructures, overcrowding, and funding. The average age of district buildings is over 60 years. It's imperative that the community find the consensus on how to build that forward. This ties in with the overcrowding of our traditional high schools and the overcrowding at each. I again think a community consensus on building new schools must be reached. Funding across all of Texas for public education ranks in the bottom 10 states of the nation. I believe it's essential for the state to get serious about improving funding for public education, Jones said in an email. Thayer is the lead pastor at Odessa Bible Church. I have a desire to do my part to help our community all it can be. When I think of how I can help Odessa be better, serving on the school board seemed like a natural progression. I have worked with kids for a very long time. I've been on campuses leading after-school programs, and two of our elementary schools I've volunteered at Reagan and STEM, Thayer said. He added that he worked with youngsters in his church and he's gone to camps, coached teams that was on board with Jim Parker Little League. I like to help, and it seems like a common thread in my background is working to help kids, Thayer said. Each person must take inventory of their abilities, resources, experience, and opportunities, and then apply them for greater good. We can all do something. I think the thing that I can do is help our community is to serve on the school board. If he's elected, Thayer said he would like to help ECISD come up with innovative ways to solve some of the existing and coming issues. This is what we do in Odessa. Innovation is part of our community's DNA. I would like to contribute to the innovation within our district. What we can do, what we need to do, what is the best at it. I'd like to help maximize what we have as a district. We have a great legacy that has been entrusted to us and needed to be maximized. From our parents, staff, and students, we need to explore new ways to maximize their potential. We need to strive to solve our solvable problems, and oftentimes don't require money, just determination. One of the areas we can maximize is our campus culture, he said. For example, continuing to work hard at involving some parents in the education of their children entry level. Scott Randolph does great work, but there is more that can be done with the kids on campuses to change the culture. Penalizing bad, sometimes criminal behavior with increased discipline and rewarding hard work can improve the culture and on-campus safety of each campus. This needs to be maximized, he added. I would like to help focus our attention on the things we would do as a district. This is extremely difficult. We can do a lot, but what we should be doing, things like math, reading, writing, science, and history, for example, need to remain the top priority. This means we have to learn to say no to some things that we can say yes to the most important things, he said. The big issue facing EISD is the need to build, which means a bond is needed. However, we need extreme transparency and communication from our administration on the details. We have to do a better job of communicating with our community the who, what, where, why of the massive project. We also need to think beyond just one mega campus. We all know smaller is better, so why not consider building two smaller campuses rather than just big one, Thayer said. Andrews sets bond to renovate high school, by Ruth Campbell. Andrews voters on May 6 will decide on a $157 million bond to renovate and update facilities in Andrews ISD. Superintendent Bobby Azam said there are three propositions, and people can vote yes or no on each one. Proposition A is $109 million that includes remodeling the high school main building, the high school science wing, the high school administration wing, high school choir and band hall, high school career and technical education building for industrial arts, cosmetology, and barber spaces. Additional performance center, locker rooms, revised parking, revised campus entry, and fencing demolition. Proposition B is for $36 million and includes athletic upgrades. Proposition C for $12 million, including Mustang Bowl renovations. Early voting runs from April 24th through May 2nd. Azam said, Texans are frozen for people 65, taxes are frozen for people 65 and older. Andrews ISD total tax rate is $1 per $100 valuation. That includes 86 cents for maintenance and operations, 14 cents for debt services. If the bond passes, the total rate would be 1.06 per $100 valuation. The 14 cents is due to a 2018 bond. Once it is paid off in 2035, the 14 cents would come off the tax rate. Both the 11 and 18 bonds were short-term, so you have a little bit of higher rate to pay, but you pay them off sooner, Azam said. The high school was built in 1960s on an open-plan concept, and the funds would allow the district to completely renovate the inside and add 20 to 25 classrooms, a choir, a band hall, a new career and technical education building, a locker room, a new administration wing. Azam said the high school was ahead of its time when it was built because it was an air conditioning, carpet, indoor pool, which is a big deal nationwide. Azam said the new classrooms will allow teachers in the same subject area to be grouped together, which will encourage collaboration. We'll obviously have to redo the parking. We'll have to do some demolition, he added. The district will be able to do all the work without interrupting school. Since the high school has its football season, gym, pool, and concert hall next to the high school, it was decided not to tear down the existing structure and build somewhere else. The plumbing underneath the building is in tunnels and easy to access. The best scenario for us would be to just rebuild the school inside the current structure, Asim said. The high school has 1,200 students, and the building currently encloses just over 300,000 square feet. With the improvements, it would be about 375,000 square feet. Right now, the building is safe. What we found was the way to build that was an open concept. It was built at the time when no one worried about people coming in. Years ago, we realized that that was a problem, so we put in glass walls to try to encapsulate the front foyer so people would have to check in and they just don't have unrestricted access to the school. It gives us an ability to the front foyer to have people that can access the offices they need to, but they also don't get to walk straight into the school. After hours, the offices will be all locked and the same front entryway will enable them to get back in to get our other gyms and high schools. The building is already secure, but this will just further add a security factor to the high school, Asim said. The bond issue was in the works for several years. With the way the school funding or the lack of school funding, as we've had to do some things that the bond was able to project, the school because we're recaptured. We didn't have a lot of money sitting around. We had to use some bond elections for capital projects, but we did around 2012 and 2013. After we passed that first rolling bond, we realized that we could do capital projects. We were upgrading or redo certain facilities. We used some of the other bond funds. We've expanded Devonian and Underwood elementary schools. We've expanded Clear Fork Elementary. We've added wings to each of those buildings to take it in the growth. We've added an annex to the middle school, and so we basically touched every aspect in every campus. Everything from our kindergarten all the way up through middle school, Asim said. They knew the high school was the last frontier. It was the big project, and it was going to take a lot of money and be some time. So it's roughly around 2015 we knew we were going to have to do it. We had to start making some decisions back then, Asim said. It was decided not to build a new high school. There was a sneak preview when a culinary area was added. That led to a current bond issue that trustees called for in February. We've had a bond election since 1993 when Robin Hood started. We've had multiple elections as far back when they did Devonian and Underwood, the Performance Center. We've had an 11 bond for our technology and buses. We maintained that money and we're about to spend the last portion of the money in the next few months in 23. We've had passed 18 bonds. That capital project is going to last us through 2035. The key to all of that is that it's paid off except for the 2018, which would be paid off in a few years. With the way we've structured things, the way we've figured things out, how to navigate that, our people understand that, Asim said. He added that he's not just saying the bond will pass or fail, but the people understand that they have to be able to keep the tax rates low. Asim said they've made several community presentations. We've done two in February, we'll do two in March, we'll do two in April. The people here asked really good questions and the feedback has been positive. There's some in town who know that they're not for it. We've tried to answer those questions, so I would have to say right now that we won't know until the election occurs. A lot of questions have been good, a lot of feedback has been positive, Asim said. Added to the propositions are separate because of the way the law is right now. It's good transparency. You get to see exactly what the proposal is and what stuff, Adam said.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. $500 for a month's supply of constipation meds. Dear Dr. Roach, what can you tell me about a prescription of 145 mcg of Linzess? And why a doctor would prescribe a pill over $500? What are the advantages to taking this? Surely there must be something less expensive that will provide the same results. Answer. Linaclotide, Linzess or Constella, is a medicine used for constipation, either in people with irritable bowel syndrome or in people with constipation for no particular reason. It works by activating a protein to allow chloride and bicarbonate, along with fluid, into the intestine. Since it is not absorbed into the body, it has few side effects. The major side effect is that it can work too well and cause diarrhea. This is enough of a concern that the medicine is not used in children under the age of 2. There are 3 different strengths, 72, 145, and 290 mcg. If you are asking me to defend pharmaceutical pricing, I can't do that. I very seldom use this medicine because there are so many other options for constipation, starting with a different diet without using any medicine at all. But in people with occasional constipation, despite having a good diet, I will usually start with fiber supplements. If those don't work, I recommend a surfactant such as docusate, colace, which allows more water to enter the stool. Yet another option would be non-absorbable substances like polyethylene glycol, Miralax and others, lactulose, sorbitol, and magnesium. All of these are much less expensive. However, there are still people who don't do well with any of these less expensive and also tried and true alternatives. Linzess has made a real difference in the lives of several of my patients. It is usually prescribed by an expert, a gastroenterologist, at least in the case of my patients. Finally, Linzess is roughly $20 a pill or about $500 for a month's supply in the U.S. without insurance. Some people only need it occasionally and are very willing to pay, even if insurance doesn't cover it.
Good morning, this is Jelaine Scott reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, April 8th, 2023. Dear Abby, Dad's parade of wives leaves grown child cold. Dear Abby, I am 23-year-old child of divorce. For 9 months, my father has been dating a woman he was seeing while still married to my stepmother. My youngest brother, age 19, and I have yet to meet her. If they marry, this will be Dad's third marriage. While I love him, he deeply hurt not only my former stepmother, but also my mother, because he cheated on them both multiple times. He excuses it by saying he had no other choice. I recently moved back to my hometown after living in New York for 16 months. At some point, soon, the three of us, as well as my middle brother, will likely have dinner together. I'm afraid I'll lash out at her and possibly lose my father in the process. I feel like a child when he tries to explain his behavior in an indirect way. Must I accept this new woman as my father's partner or risk him dropping out of my life? Revolving doors. Dear revolving doors, if you want a relationship with your father, it's important that you not lash out at whatever woman he is with, whether it be fiance, number 3, 4, 5, etc. This isn't as much a question of accepting this new woman as it may be accepting your father for who he is. If things eventually turn out as I suspect they will, you may choose to drop out of his life. Dear Abby, my wife's niece had a baby. My wife called several times asking to visit the child, but was told that her niece's pregnancy and delivery were very stressful and she would have to wait to see the baby. She made more calls and was told the same thing. The baby is now a year old, and we heard the mother invited her cousin's children to the birthday party, but nobody else. The cousins have young children too. My wife and I have a 12-year-old who is a second cousin. Should my wife say anything to the mother because our child was excluded? We don't want to cause bad feelings, but my wife is hurt. Left out in New Jersey. Dear Left Out, were your wife and her niece close before the baby was born? From what you have written, it doesn't appear so. Because the pregnancy and delivery were difficult, it seems reasonable that the mother needed time to recover and adjust. With a year gone by, a birthday party given for the child, and your wife still not receiving an invitation, I would say the niece isn't interested in maintaining a close relationship. Your wife may gain better insight into what has been going on if she talks with her niece's parents about her feelings. Dear Abby, I am curious about proper etiquette when a dinner guest brings a bottle of wine. Should that bottle be offered opened instead of the wine already opened by the host? How should we respond to the guest? Confused in the Midwest. Dear Confused, no rule of etiquette requires you to open the wine your guest has brought and serve it instead of what you have chosen for the meal. Thank your guest for their generosity and put it aside to be used on another occasion or as a second bottle for that night's dinner.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.